Well, we would appreciate your prayers this morning that the Lord would pour us out a little blessing today. We wrote on the board, hope against hope. Now, that might be a little confusing, but maybe it won't be by the time we finish. I was thinking about a song that we have in our book, number 198. It says, verse 2, and it says, blessed hope we have within us is an anchor to the soul. It is both steadfast and sure. It is founded on the promises of Father's written word and will evermore endure. You know, hope is a real important aspect of our life. If we don't have any hope, we don't have any hope that things can be better, different, that the Lord can bless us. You know, we're in poor shape, aren't we? We're in a place for Satan to take advantage of us. But the Lord has given us hope. And the song, the verse 2 here that we just read, says, blessed hope we have within us. It's a wonderful hope, isn't it? Thank the Lord we have it. Thank the Lord we have hope, folks, today. It's an anchor to our soul. We talked back in December of a hope in Christ. And I want to enlarge a little more than that this morning. That this hope, folks, it's steadfast, it's sure, it's founded on God's word, on His promises. And so we have something to anchor to. The refrain says, we have a hope within our souls, brighter than the perfect day. God has given us His Spirit. And we want the world to hear it. All the doubts are passed away. Verse 3 says, hope has brought us through the dangers and temptations of the past. And we fear not those to come. By her blessings, we'll go forward while our mortal life shall last. Then we'll joyously go home. Since we've walked the straight and narrow way, our path has ever shone brighter, brighter day by day. Hope within our hearts assures us it is better farther on. It is brighter all the way. And so I want to talk a little bit this morning, by the help of the Lord, about the reality of life. You know, we don't always feel so hopeful, do we? Hope is something that I think we learn from. It's something that teaches us. It's something that prepares us that we don't have to fear the things to come. In Psalm 42 and 9, the psalmist here really gives us an inside look to their mind as they wrote. 42 and 9 of Psalm says, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Now, we could take this as an enemy, an outward enemy that actually says that, or we could take this as the father of that, which is the devil. And he will say to you, won't he? When you're down, he'll press on you. Where's your God? You know, why isn't God answering like you want him to answer? Why isn't... And so verse 11 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. You know what, this morning, I just want to encourage us, folks. There's a hope that goes against all that is seen. The Scriptures refer to it basically as hope against hope. And, you know, on up there in that same chapter, the first part of it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, So panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. You know, I've done these things. I have went to the house of God with the people of God. I've enjoyed that. And he says, my soul thirsts for God. And so verse 5 says, and then he says, my tears have been my meat day and night. And verse 5 says the same thing that verse 11 says. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I want this morning, if the Lord would help us, for our hearts to be enlarged and to take in a hope against all that may be seen at times. I want to tell you something. This psalmist knew something about God. They knew something of the Lord. And he said, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Though these things happen and though I don't understand, I know that in the end, God is going to help me. Do you know that that comes not from the first battle with Satan that you get into? Because when the first time you don't know all those fighting things, do you? But after a while, and you realize that I didn't know how it was going to happen, I didn't know what was going to happen, I didn't understand what was happening, God came along and helped. You know what? After a lifetime of that, you look at things different. You look at the battles, you look at the trials, and you recognize the ferocity of them. You recognize how damaging and destroying they can be. But what you know is that if I just keep my God, my rock, the help of my countenance, the lifter up of my head, if I keep him in my life, it'll be okay. That's called hope. And this morning I want to encourage us to look up with hope to the Lord. You know, if you don't need hope this morning, maybe your hope is flourishing and bright. And maybe the person right next to you is in a battle. But I want to tell you this morning, we're going to all need hope before we get out of this place. We're going to need hope when the chips are all down. We're going to need hope when things look insurmountable. And so 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, Paul writes here and he says, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I want to tell you, Paul's affliction, I would not call light. I don't know what all he went through, but I know some things because he wrote about them. And I've never went through a lot of those things he did. I've never been stoned and they left thinking I was dead. I've never been beat like that. I've never experienced some of the things Paul did. But he calls it a light affliction. All the things he endured. And he says, it's but for a moment. But he says something about it. He says, it works for us. This light of these afflictions, the things that come into our life. No, we don't look to be under the cloud the rest of our life. But I want to tell you, the cloud comes, doesn't it? And he says here, our affliction, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I want to encourage us today to look at the things that happen to us, recognizing and maybe we'll turn to this in a minute, but recognizing that God said that everything that comes into a Christian's life will work for our good. Now, the first battle we have, we may be all down and out and not realize that. But I want to tell you, through life you realize that God will do just what He said He will do. And so, when we see these things and we see the things in our life that we don't understand, things that trouble us, think, why me? Why this? What happened here? How can this work out? Well, I want to tell you something. He says here, while we look not, in verse 18, at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to encourage us this morning to lift up our eyes to those things that are eternal. I want to tell you, those are the things that will last. Those are the things that will keep your heart bright, that will keep your hope bright. Oh, this morning, he says, though our outward men perish, yet, in spite of it, the inward man is renewed day by day. Oh, this morning, can we recognize what hope that God wants to fill our hearts and lives with? Do you know that He don't want His people running around all down in the mouth and all troubled and overwhelmed and overcome? I want to tell you, Paul writes about some of those things, that they come upon us, but they don't overcome us, do they? And so this morning, let's be encouraged, saints, to look at the things that are eternal. To look at those things that God is doing. He says here, it works for us. These things work for us. These things are our slaves. These afflictions, they help us. They change us. They make us more dependent on God. And though this outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And folks, there's something that God wants to do in our souls that He wants to do in spite of and with the afflictions that come into our life. Now, there are a lot of things that we don't understand. Why me? Why does this have to happen to me? Well, I want to tell you why it has to happen to you, because God allowed it. That's why it has to happen to you. That's why it has to happen to me. And so this morning, the Lord's not looking for us to be bowed and crushed under by the things of life. He wants us to have hope, knowing that God is going to use this to make me a better person and to get me to heaven. Do you know that this morning? God's going to use your trials. You're thinking about, I know some of you have trials, folks. All of us do, don't we? But some of us do right now, probably. And I want to encourage you to recognize and grasp around these things and say, I will not resent this. You know, I can't remember the words that Fanny Crosby used, but she said of her blindness, I will not, I cannot, I won't let this hinder me. I can't remember how she said it. But she had victory over those things. And in fact, she wrote many joyous songs. And this morning, I want to urge us today to not look at the trials that beset us in such a way that this is going to destroy me. This even has the power to destroy me. It doesn't have any power at all if we'll keep our eyes on eternal things. It will be our servant. Is that right? Could we really say that? Is that truth? Let's believe the truth, folks. We believe lies, we suffer. We lose. We believe the truth, we overcome, we win, we make heaven our home. I want to tell you, these things are our servants. These things, the worst things, are our servants. I believe that this morning. I was thinking about, and I looked it up, blacksmiths. We talked about iron a while back, but I'm thinking about a blacksmith's work. You know, they don't have them on every corner like they did in the day, 150 years ago. But blacksmiths work, this is what I read about it, by heating pieces of wrought iron or steel until the metal, by heating pieces of wrought iron or steel until the metal becomes soft enough for shaping with hand tools. That's what they do. They take something very hard, very stiff, very what it is, steel, and they heat it until it becomes soft enough that they can shape it with hand tools. You know what that means this morning, folks? That's what a blacksmith does, such as a hammer, an anvil, and a chisel. Heating generally takes place in a forge, fueled by propane, natural gas, coal, charcoal, coke, or oil. You know, this morning it says color is important for indicating the temperature. Listen to this. Color is important for indicating the temperature and workability of the metal. As iron heats to higher temperatures, it first glows red, then orange, yellow, and finally white. This ideal heat for most forging is the ideal heat for most forging is the bright yellow-orange color that indicates forging heat. You know, when something gives that radiance back, you know it's ready to be molded. Do you know that God is looking into your life and mine with desire? Do you know that He's looking into our lives to take the hammer and the anvil? I've watched a little bit of this. They get it really hot and then they strike it. It seems to me like, well, you know, our life is kind of like that, isn't it? The scriptures tell us that. Doesn't it seem kind of bad when it's at its most heated to strike it? It's the only way it can happen. A lot of times that's the only way it can happen. The Lord has to get our life heated to the point that we become malleable, shapeable. And then we have to be struck at that time. Do you know, it changes us, doesn't it? It makes us into the form that God wants to make us. And so while we are all the time, why is this heat on me? Why is it? And God is saying, settle down. I'm working on you. Is that all right? That's what He'll do. That's what He'll do. I don't know why He does everything He does. Sometimes it's for other people's sake. But I want to tell you something, like our children. Those things happen, don't they? But we pray for those things, don't we? Lord, save my children. Lord, do... Well, okay, I'll answer your prayer. I want to tell you something. I've watched wayward children for some years now, quite a long while. And I want to tell you something. Those parents start praying for those children and the Lord starts touching the most dear thing to those children, and that's the parents. Lots of times that happens. I'm not telling you not to pray for your children, because you should. But I want to tell you, expect that we're going to have some things in life. And God is going to use those things. And He is going to shape us with His hammer. And with His anvil. And what else did it say here? With well, with the things that they use to make those things happen. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us today. It's a very simple message. Let's just melt in the Lord's hands. And let's let Him work the way He wants to work. Because really, what He's doing is, He sees our future. He even sees our eternal future. And He's trying to prepare us for that future. He's trying to make us into something, and we're holding back and saying, no, 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 not me. I want life easy. I want life right. I want everything to be good. And the Lord says, turn the heat up. And the heat gets turned up. And then it gets turned up some more. And then it stays on. And then he strikes. Because he wants to mold us. And he's trying to make us into a vessel that he wants to do. Oh, this morning, let's don't resist the hand of the Lord, but let's have hope. God sees our lives, folks, and he wants to give us hope. 1 Peter 1:6. Listen to this. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. You know, God wants to put rejoicing in our heart and life. But he says, though now for a season, he didn't say for life. He said, though now for a season, if need be, if you need it, if it's needful, ye are in heaviness through manifold, many temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. The gold won't burn up. It's not going to burn up. It's going to be purified. The dross is going to come to the top. And the Lord's going to purify the gold. And so this morning, the trial of your faith is very, very valuable. That's what precious is. It's really valuable. And so he says, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How can we believe in one we've never seen? Because we felt the touch of his hand so many times in our lives, haven't we? Oh, the Lord bless us today to get a new view of our life, to get a new view of the trials that come in life, the trials that we never expected when we began. But listen to this. Here's another place that I love. Romans 5:3. And not only so, but Paul says, but we glory, we rejoice in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That means we have to settle down. We have to stop. We have to allow the things that God has allowed that we can't move. Lord, give us the wisdom to know the difference. If we can move something that's troubling us, move it. If we cannot, let's submit to God. We don't want to ever submit to the devil, but we want to submit to God. Lord, this is where I'm at, and you want me to learn and be a really good example in that. You want me to be melted. You want me to be molded through this very heat. Is that all right? He says, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See, these things, it says, it works for us. It works something in us. First, it works patience, that we settle down and we allow God's work in our life. And then, after we see that, and we see God did come through. He did help me in the end. I didn't disappear off of the face of the earth. The Lord helped me. Then that brings experience. And after some experience, I want to tell you, experience is a wonderful thing. When you get on jobs, I love to see people that are experienced at what they do. Our trade was as carpenters. I have seen a lot of things. And I've seen people mess things up and just like, oh no, now we've got to start all over. But you know what? Somebody that has some experience will look at that and say, you know, if you'll just do this, for instance, you cut a piece of crown molding too short. Well, how are you gonna work with that? You've got to start over, right? Not necessarily. When you cut crown out like those columns right there, you cut crown out and around them, you can thin the back of it up a little bit, and it becomes longer at the point it meets the wood. And so you simply learn a few of those little things through experience. And then when you do mess up a little bit, you recognize how to fix it. You know, this morning, experience brings hope. That's what Paul's saying here. Experience, you've traveled this road before. You've seen the heat on. You've felt the enemy tempting you. You've seen the future through fear. You've seen those things, and you've seen God work. I want to tell you something. It takes the bite out of it after a while. You recognize that the Word of God is true. It's really true. He'll carry me through this time. He carried me through last time. I want to tell you, some of us, I know the number of us here in various situations, various trials, various temptations. And I believe the way of the Lord is a good way. It's been good for us. To us and to many here. But I want to encourage you, when the chips are all down and the future looks dim, remember something, God won't fail us. I believe that. Hope maketh not ashamed. You know what that means? It means we didn't have to turn back. It means we don't have to be put to shame. We thought we could make it, but we couldn't make it. It means hope maketh not ashamed, because we continue to live for God. We continue to trust in Him. We continue, you notice what we read at the first, how that one that, why am I cast down? Why, O soul, are you so cast down? He said, I shall yet praise Him. Hope thou in God. He learned that God was God. So this morning, the Lord bless us today. We realize that no matter what, God's going to take care of us. You know, Paul got into a lot of things, as we already said. But let's go back over here in Philippians 1 and let him tell us just a little bit about his situation when he was writing this epistle. Philippians 1 and 12, he says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren." I want you to understand something, Paul says. "That the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." How many times do we say that? How many times can we say, you know what, God grew me through that. God worked things out in such a way that I'm amazed that He did that. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. You know what? He said, folks, I just want you to know something. I want you to understand something. That those things that's happened to me, and I'm in prison, and whatever all the things drawing up to that came to be, and all the fear that went around, because that's what happens. He wrote to Timothy, you know, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. He was telling Timothy, don't fear and work from fear. God will take care of you. Do the work of the Lord. And don't be afraid to. Yeah, it might land you in prison, but Timothy, don't be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so here he says, these things that's happened to me, they've actually fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds in Christ, you know, these chains on my hands, or however it was, this place that he was stuck in anyway. My bonds are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. I really believe the Lord wants to take our trials and make them into those kind of things today. So we don't know what all we, each one, are going to go through. But folks, let's believe the word. Let's believe truth. The lies of Satan is that you can't make it. The lies of Satan is that up ahead, you're going to find that you're going to really be disappointed. That's the lies of Satan. But the truth is that God will take care of his own, isn't it? And if you read, you can turn to it at Romans 8 and 28. We quoted it a little while ago. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, who is that? Many are called, but few are chosen. But I will tell you, those that believe, I believe that's who he's talking about here. We're all called, folks. The Lord calls on us. He calls our name. He looks for people. The scripture says he would that all men were saved. Well, I don't think he's lying by saying that. I think he means that. And so he calls on us. And those that believe, oh, he's precious, isn't he? He's precious. He's valuable. He's something we love. He's the center of our life, and we love it to be that way. You know, this morning, Abraham was a man that believed God, and he served the Lord. And we have him for an example. And the Lord wants to make us an example to our family, to those that are without. The Lord wants our lives to be an example, folks. But Abraham believed God, and he lived for God through thick and thin. And I want to tell you, it wasn't all easy for Abraham. He lived in a tent all his life. That's what he was called to do. That's where he lived. He never built a palace. He never had those nice things. Oh, Abraham was a rich man. He had a lot of cattle and a lot of things. But I want to tell you something. He didn't live the life that we live, as nice as we live it, all of us here. We all have nice little homes. They're all heated nicely and all those things, or sufficiently anyway. If it's not, let us know, please. But it says of him in Romans 4 and 8. Romans 4 and 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Do you know that this is where the scripture talks about who against hope believed in hope? Abraham knew when God told him that you're going to be the father of many nations. Wasn't he 75 when the Lord gave him that promise, I believe? Is that right? And then at 100, the Lord came by, I believe, and promised him. Anyway, so I'm close on those, I think. But he knew he was an old man. And his wife was an old woman. And how is she going to have children? And so against that backdrop, he believed God. Because God said, you're going to have a son. And the Lord told him that, didn't he? And so we see him there. And it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know what? He knew what he was up against. And he knew those things. But he believed God. And this morning, I want to encourage you and myself. Let's believe God. You know what? Let's live for the Lord as he has called us to. We can look at Abraham as a great man, but Abraham was just a man. Abraham had a few failings, too. But I want to tell you something. Abraham wanted to serve the Lord. And he heard the voice of God. When God said, Abraham, get up and leave this place. And you know what? He got up and left. And he didn't know where he was going or what was going to be. But he heard God call. And I want to ask you this morning, Have you ever heard God call you? Have you ever felt conviction in your heart that I need to change? I need to get saved. You know what? God maybe has called you too. And maybe we didn't listen to Him. Maybe we went on and did our own thing. Abraham was a man that heard the call of God. He got up and he left his place. And all through life, when God called on him, Abraham obeyed that. And so this morning, he, against hope, believed in hope. I don't know what you're up against that seems greater than can possibly be. It seems like at 100 years old, you think me and my wife's going to have a child? come on, Sarah laughed, didn't she? She just simply laughed. But they had a child, didn't they? Against hope, Abraham believed God. And so this morning, I want to ask you, you believe God? Do you? Do you believe God? Do you believe God enough to get up and leave the place you're in and follow God? I'm not talking about physically, necessarily. But I'm talking about spiritually. Do we really believe that God can take us to heaven? Or are we going to be one of those that abide in unbelief? I want to tell you, hope is a wonderful thing. I hope and I believe that God can take me to heaven. That's why I'm trying to live for Him the best I know today. I want to do that every day for the rest of my life. And then when that last day comes, it'll just be one of those days. It'll be one of those days that we're ready to meet Him. Oh, folks, against hope, against the failures that we've had in the past, against the needs that we've had, believe against those things. Believe and have hope that God can take me through. God can change me. The things that we need changed about us. Well, if I was so-and-so, I could probably do this. If I was in their body, if they were in my situation, maybe they could, but I can't. Don't ever say that. Folks, I want to tell you something. God can take us through. But we need hope to believe that. And hope is built upon the promises of God. It is that we believe. We believe that the Lord has given His word and He will keep that. We believe that God will take us through. We believe that God can give us grace. We believe that God can change our nature. We believe those things. That's why we trust Him, don't we? That's why we live for Him. All this morning, I just want to encourage us today to let the things that stretch our faith, let them do its work. That stretched Abraham and Sarah's faith, didn't it? It stretched their faith, especially Sarah. A lot of the stories that we read in the Bible, folks, they came from circumstances that stretched people way beyond what the norm is. God allowed those things for a reason. One more set of scriptures in Mark 16. You know, Jesus told them, He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." It's good news, folks. This is good news that the Lord can give us hope like this. "Go into you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth," and I'm just going to leave it right there. That verse, you can finish it yourself. "He that believeth will be saved," folks. Or maybe I will finish. "And is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." What camp are we going to be in? Are we going to be saved this morning? Are we going to make it all the way to heaven? Or are we going to be of those of unbelief that's afraid to take up, afraid, heading back like Pilgrim's Progress, the fella in there, heading back the other way? Oh, I've tried that. I want to tell you, I believe. I believe. And I have a lot of hope that God will take every trial for the rest of my life and He'll make it work for me. He'll make it work for my eternal good. That is, if I allow Him to put me under the heat and to heat me up and then to work on me and then to strike. If I allow that. Now, if I get bitter at those things, then I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose out. I hope I always keep that perspective in mind. Oh, the Lord bless us this morning. I want to just tell you something. God is bigger than we are. And if we'll trust in Him and believe in Him, and if we'll give our lives to Him, He'll do more than we thought He could do. You pray for me this morning.